Yes, this is the Dental Marketer Podcast Show. I just, you know, from time to time, I'm going to be changing it up, the songs at the beginning of the show, just to give you guys a different feel. Anyways, this episode is very, very eye-opening. I interviewed Dr. Fred Ferguson, a renowned speaker. He's been on TED Talks. He's been evolving and changing the way we view healthcare. And he is a dentist. He talks about the truth about healthcare, how society views it, how dentists view it, how doctors, physicians view it. And we also talk a little bit more about the value that we need to bring as far as the community. That way we can be seen more as authority figures and much more in a community. Because if you think about it, a lot of the time society believes like, okay, you know, there's the type of healthcare where, and it doesn't believe it, it's true, where there's a type of healthcare, you know, for if you get in a car accident or if you break an arm or if you're feeling sick or something like that, right? And then there's a whole separate healthcare issue for your mouth, your oral health, right? Dental issues. And they separate that. And is that really the best thing to do? And if not, what can be done? So that's what we talk about. And we go into so much more depth. Dr. Fred Ferguson is extremely knowledgeable. So guys, I hope you enjoy this episode. Take in as much as possible. Don't forget to go below in the show notes. Look at more information. And here's episode 51. All right, let's talk with our featured guest, Dr. Fred Ferguson. Dr. Ferguson, thank you so much for being on the show. How are you doing today?
Fine. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Thanks for asking. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, about your past, present, and future, and how you got to where you are today?
Well, I'm Fred Ferguson. I'm a professor of pediatric dentistry at Stony Brook University in the Department of Orthodontics and Pediatric Dentistry. I've been here for 42 years. My life at Stony Brook involves teaching all sorts of health professional students, research, community service, programs to help folks, folks in special groups, special health care groups. Mm-hmm. And I've maintained a practice here at the dental school and in the hospital.
How long have you been doing that for?
I came to Stony Brook in 1975.
And I know before we were talking quite a bit and you said, yeah, I know your passion and your efforts are to transform healthcare.
Yep.
Tell us a little bit more about that.
Well, I'm going to read you an introduction that I've developed. And essentially the title of the introduction is Accountability Provides a Path to Improve Healthcare and Reduce Cost.
Okay.
Healthcare increasingly recognizes that the oral systemic connections is significant to long-term health and quality of life. This recognition implies that oral information about a patient could give medical providers a better opportunity to identify disease early, which would reduce costs in a patient-centered model of care. This insight is timely because many aspects of primary care are failing, which has increased in burden on chronic care. Primary care could mitigate these failures by using the oral health information about how consumers manage their oral health over time. The behaviors, habits, and lifestyle choices that impact oral health are also risk factors for common chronic diseases such as diabetes, cardiac problems, and obesity. This realization indicates that a patient's oral health profile could significantly benefit primary and chronic care management. I call this oral health profile, when confirmed by a dental examination, SMART data. SMART data can provide benefits to improve population health and reduce disparities and inequities for consumers and enhance collaboration across healthcare. SMART data will also transform dentistry to become a necessity to healthcare. To this end, I've created an oral health technology that provides personalized oral health education to consumers, drives collaboration of patients with their healthcare providers and among health providers also, and creates forward-looking health measures for proactive healthcare.
Yeah, that's good. So I know your mission is to transform, right? Transform healthcare through consumer accountability, stakeholder collaboration, and effective integration. How's that going? How are you doing that? How are you going about transforming healthcare? It's such a big, huge topic. And
well, for me, it began as a personal journey. In fact, it began in the mid-80s encountering some patients, some pediatric patients, and really, you know, when you're seeing children, the patient is really the parent. And the child is primarily, especially as we get younger or the child has medical issues or special needs, the child really is a symptom. What mm-hmm. you see in them is really a reflection of their parents' attitude, knowledge, behaviors, and skills in that child's care. And really, that's reflective of a four-letter word, love. Yeah. And that's my challenge, getting parents to understand how much power they have and what they do that can provide just immeasurable benefits for their child that they can't even conceive. So as I began to change my own language mm-hmm. in communicating mm-hmm. with my patients to kind of get that aha moment, to get that eyebrow raised, to know that I've got their attention, I believe I found that I really had something. Because, you know, people come to dental care, to health care, with their own vision, their own goals. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And what I've got to do is to find out first who's in front of me, and I have to get us to share a vision that we can both understand. If I can't get to that shared vision, there's no way that my care is going to be effective, because I have very little control of what happens to that patient, or what the parent or what the patient of a teenager or whatever, what they're going to do when they leave the office. So my big challenge is for them to understand that they're the ones who are really important in this relationship, and I'm really there as a resource. I'm not the Superman. I'm a resource to help them to be empowered and be competent and autonomous in their health care and understand how valuable it is to come see me to check to see how they're doing, that they're doing a good job. Yeah. So I began to develop documents for my students to understand this journey and to ask the right questions, because I wanted them to learn how to do this dance of understanding who they're with. I even liken the doctor-patient relationship in its beginning as a blind date. Is the biggest challenge I have is to find out who this person is who I'm engaging or trying to engage, and what are their expectations, what are their goals, how do they see the visit, what do they want? Because no matter what kind of health care I do, and I don't care what kind of physician or dentist I am, unless we are collaborating together to address the causes of the problem that I'm seeing, that my care is not going to be effective, nor will it be valuable. Mm-hmm. So these documents were developed, and then the internet came, and wow, that was incredible. Mm-hmm. Now I had the opportunity to gather data from them in a way that I could quantify and then move across healthcare. And that's when I really knew I had something, and that is that oral health really provides the path to improved health care and reduce costs.
Okay.
What I mean is that, again, if we look at the issues, the characteristics which drive oral health, health management by the person, a parent, the caregiver, and how it is reflected in what their mouth looks like at a dental examination, now I've got two pieces of data. I can quantify that data, and I can share that across healthcare to improve collaboration, that is, how the patient might work with as a partner with their physician, and how physicians can work together better, because we know it's really behaviors and lifestyle choices and habits that's driving chronic diseases, costly chronic diseases, and in integrating that data so that consumers, providers, payers, and policymakers are all on the same page. Mm-hmm. Once we have that transparency and integration, now we've got something that's going to get us out of this reactive healthcare calamity that we're in which nobody's happy. Mm-hmm. And now we start a system that's proactive and forward-looking. We all know that prevention costs a lot less than reaction, and we also are going to produce a patient-centered system, because right now it's not centered on the patient. Yeah. It's centered on the payer. Mm-hmm. That's not working. We're seeing that in the news every day, how it's not working. Everybody's very upset about it.
I know a lot of people kind of have that fear of cost, right? So, for example, like you said, a child really doesn't know what they have. It's more the parent's fault, right?
We can't blame a parent if a parent doesn't know. So, right. And I can't tell you, no, you can't blame someone who doesn't know what's going on. And that's what I'm saying. So we now have the technology that everyone, no matter where you are, should have access to technology that allows them to learn about their health management and even their attitude around their health management.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so when you give somebody something to read, that information might not be sensitive or applicable to them. But if we give them a matrix which allows them to come in and explore, you know, their attitude, explore their knowledge, explore their behaviors, explore their skills around a subject of health, and that information belongs to them and it can follow them, and then they have to come in and re-up and see how they're doing, because risk does change over your life about your health. It isn't the same for a 2-year-old or a 20-year-old or a 42-year-old or an 80-year-old. It's not the same.
Yeah.
These issues predictably change, especially for your mouth. And that's why oral health is a great, great window for us to use over the lifespan to look at our long-term health and quality of life. And the key is, again, it's the consumer that has to be on point.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I know you also mentioned how you don't agree with the fact that, you know, the general population kind of views dentistry and then the rest of the body as a separate, or the mouth and the rest of the body as a separate type of health environment or healthcare. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, you know, it's our own fault. This kind of happened back in the 40s about mm-hmm. the separation, and it's kind of our fault. But now, you know, through organizations and health care organizations and the Surgeon General back in 2000, the Institute of Medicine in the mid-90s, there's a lot of information out there that people are beginning to see this connection between their mouth and their body. I can tell you in my 42 years of health care, there's a huge difference when I came out of my residency. There's a huge difference in the last 10 years. I mean, you can see that something's happening, and some of it's with the internet and technology, and you can Google things, mm-hmm. you know, and people are beginning to understand and see this thing. I know in my own efforts in my company, when I started, it was very difficult to get anybody to listen to me. I will tell you that, of course, people are beginning to listen to me now because of cost, but there are some other things happening out there. We're slowly beginning to get it. However, again, I look at healthcare like I look at the parent of a 3-year-old or, let's say, a 10-year-old who has autism, whose mouth isn't doing very well. And I know that, you know, what the question is, what are your expectations? What do you want? What do you see? What are your priorities? And the problem for me isn't providing the care for my patient. The problem for me is, can I get the parent? I'm looking at healthcare as a parent. You know, can mm-hmm. I get you change the way you think and the way you behave? That's my challenge. My challenge isn't doing what I'm licensed to do. My challenge is getting first your attitude to shift a little bit, and then you start listening to me, and we start really engaging so that when you leave, your attitude and your aptitude has been transformed, because the evidence is what it is. If you don't start taking charge of your health, there is really nothing I can really do to help you, except maybe put out the fire a little bit, but it's going to pop up again soon.
Yeah.
So my biggest challenge to the patient, healthcare, is getting it first to consider, well, you know, I look at healthcare as the Titanic. You've hit the iceberg, and all that's happening is that we're just rearranging the deck chairs. We're not making a change. But I know in the last half year, some things are definitely changing, where people are now listening and talking to me, where last year they really weren't paying attention, but something is happening.
Yeah. What do you think is happening? What since from last year to this year, what's changed, and how are you overcoming this challenge with healthcare and the patients?
As I listen to what's going out there and I try to reflect the words that they're saying, kind of use their words against them, I'm evolving in how I engage people in this idea.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
also, as they're beginning to hear what's going on out there, because there's a lot of evidence now about what I'm talking about, I'm not making this stuff up, that it's kind of, you know, a number of things I think are influencing this. The media is definitely, again, the internet is a huge benefit, because you can, you know, is when people say, you know, well, I'm not sure. I say, well, Google this. I'll send them a PDF from a white paper from an insurance company. There's a lot of things that are starting to crackle. It's almost like there's this chain reaction starting, And now I'm presenting to groups and organizations that, quite frankly, probably 2 years ago, they would have just blown me off. And again, people are recognizing there's something really wrong here. What are we going to do about it? It's, you know, change is difficult. You know, sometimes even when you're in pain, when are you going to go get help? What actually says to you, okay, I'm in enough pain now, I'm going to go get help now. This is bugging me enough where I've got to do something about it. So it's the same parameters. Instead of being a patient, you know, it's a whole lot of people in the organization. But I think I just have not given up, and I'm just going steadily forward. I know that there's logic to what I'm saying. There's evidence about to back up what I'm saying. The difference is I've actually created the system to actually make the connection. People talk about returning your mouth to the body, okay? People talk about trying to increase awareness and whatnot. I'm saying what we need is data. What I've done that's different is that I actually have a series of tools or processes that will provide the data that you can't argue with. You can't argue with this data. It's not fancy. You don't need to be a doctor to look at it, because it's about the consumer and what they're doing. After all, that's what we're really talking about, that we know, let's go back to the beginning, that the issue of chronic disease is predominantly about the consumer. Even if you have, you know, heart disease in your family, you know, even if you have diabetes in your family, it still comes back to understanding what are the dynamics, what are the drivers in your behavior, what's affecting your behavior. And the bottom line is, no one can be as an effective health manager as you for yourself. Whoever you are, no matter what you're doing, smoking, whatever it is, no one can do the job for you better than you.
So Health Migration Consulting, that's your own firm, right? What are the strategies that you guys use? What are some success stories that you guys are doing right now in order to achieve your mission and its vision?
Well, our strategies, you named them. First, we are driving accountability. That's the foundation of the house that we have to start from again. Right now, the problem in our health care is that there is no accountability, because the consumer, essentially, in our health system, has a get-out-of-jail-free card. They have no stake in the game. That is, they do what they do, and then when they have a problem, then they want to enter the system, and then they find the system doesn't respond the way they think it should. Mm-hmm. There's no magic to this. It takes work. It takes monitoring. And if we don't have a partner in the system, a person who's engaged in their own health, you know, just like I said, if I have one of my students and they have an exam coming up, and then the day of the exam they come to me, oh, you know, I haven't studied. And I go like, well, what do you want me to do? You got to take the test. You're here. You know, that's it. So there's no magic to this. The second thing is, we want to then, if we have accountability, we have information. And we have information, the whole system begins. Then we improve collaboration. The doctor needs to know what their patient is doing, and they need to know what the mouth is like in order for them to know that, you know what, my diabetic care is not going to progress if you're not behaving well, if you're not taking care of yourself, and your mouth has bleeding gums. We know that my diabetic care is not going to work well. And then we need to also take that data to the payer, so that the payer now can work with their consumers and individual in support, okay, by incentives possibly. And we can also move that data to policy, so that policy can look at communities specifically, in two communities or states or regions. And they can then help those regions focus better on centering the system to the consumer's needs, because we know that different demographics and different regions are going to have different healthcare outcomes. We clearly know that, and we've known that for years. But we're educating people, but it doesn't seem to be working. And I contend it's because nothing's coming back. We're putting things out, but nothing comes back to see how they're doing. We only have measures to see how we're doing in healthcare, and we're not doing too good, and that's why we're unhappy. So right now, you know, I've had some communities, some organizations, companies using the data gathering tool, My Smile Guide. Mm-hmm. But the problem is there's nothing to compel the member of the organization to do it. They do it if they want to. And that's the problem. Yeah. We have other tools in which we're going to take that data and present it to the healthcare provider. We're developing that, and that's still coming on. Interesting enough, there was just an article in the most recent Journal of the American Dental Association, mm-hmm. where they surveyed physicians about what did they think, focus groups, about the inclusion of patients' oral health data in medical records. Very, very good stuff. I was so glad to see it because that's exactly what it is I'm trying to do. We've been talking about, you know, interprofessional education, that is, you know, physicians understanding about the mouth better and dentists have always understood about the rest of the body. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the point is, until we get the data, until we can reveal the patient to their physician in an intimate way so the physician understands about their patient's specific oral health journey, culture, we're not going to go so far. We're not going to go so far. And again, this data will evolve and change as the patient becomes a better health manager, because I know what it's going to make for the physician. I clearly know what it's going to do for their long-term health quality of life. So, and this data will also help employers. Employers need to know how the family's health management is going, because that's going to directly affect the employees' work effectiveness and efficiency, not just for them, but also for their family. Mm-hmm. We know that a person who knows their children and good dental health, they're going to be a more productive, more focused worker. So there's all kinds of benefits from this data that really reflects the quality of a person's life and their long-term health.
Yeah, exactly. And have you seen, progress with physicians and the health managers, like the parents? Have you seen progress with the data or slow progress, or it's like a jump from year to year?
Right now, we know there's clearly good data that says if we take a diabetic population or a cardiac disease population, okay, and we integrate dental care with their medical care, we save big bucks on the medical cost side. That's the big cost side. My reaction to that is, why are we waiting for people to show diabetes or cardiac disease? Why don't we start so we lessen the opportunity for them to get sick? Mm-hmm. Now, of course, that's a little disruptive because, again, I'm a health provider. I was trained to treat sick people. That's how I'm paid. I'm paid to treat sick people. Okay, mm-hmm. But what if we had a system that, based upon data, that could incentivize me as a patient or as a parent or as a health provider based upon the quality of either my personal health data or the quality of my practice population health data, that I would actually be paid for how well I kept people, because it's the payer, be it the government, you know, state departments of health or CMS, commercial payers, who are complaining about how healthcare costs so much. And, of course, in Obamacare, and again, the process of Obamacare was to increase access to healthcare. But what it did, how it did that, was to pass on part of the cost to the consumer. Mm-hmm. Okay, you, the consumer, we're going to pay for more. You know, we want to share, spread out the cost liability to the consumer instead of just the payer. That's what's really happening. And, of course, people are getting more access to care, but they're not happy that they have to pay money. Well, again, that comes from this whole sense of how we look at our healthcare system, you know, of being entitled versus being a partner. We're a patient. And I say we need to change that concept of a patient to a partner because, again, you know, this wasn't an accident. You weren't walking down the street and a tree fell on you. No, this is something that you've actually contributed to, not through your own fault, that's been happening around you from the first day of life, because health engagement is not a factor in a healthcare system. I've done an interesting thing for a couple of years. I've asked people, people that I know, you know, vaguely, I'll say, John, I want you to tell me what health is. What's health? And in all the years I've been doing this, only one person answered me immediately. Everybody else, they kind of look around, they kind of, out and develop the answer. And only one person answered me immediately, and they said, oh, my health is what I do to take care of myself every day.
Oh.
I can ask people, tell me what health care is. Oh, they can answer me immediately. Oh, that's when I go to my doctor. That's when if I have to go to the hospital. That's if I need medication.
Mm-hmm.
But if you ask what health is, it takes time for them to think about what the answer really is. So I'm saying that the lack of health management quality in our culture is really making us sick in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
And it's especially hurtful to the people at the bottom, at the lower half of the ladder, where we have the issues of the inequities and disparities and whatnot, because it impacts them far greater than it would impact you or I. Okay?
Yeah.
Because they don't have the game. You know, you and I, we've been in the game of what's going on. We can, you know, you're educated. You have a job. You kind of know what's going on. But people who are not in, who are not have these advantages, you know, if they have a health problem, oh no, it's far worse for them. And the impact of their family and their quality of life and their education and their ability to move upward is far greater than you and I.
Mm-hmm.
So this health thing is costing us in ways that we can't imagine, that you and I can't imagine. So this is a very serious problem, and the longer we wait and delay to take a proactive stance against this, the more it's going to hurt us. What we need in a national health system, called it Obamacare, Trump care, is that we need people, in order to qualify for it, they need to be in my system. And in my world, everybody would have to see their dentist timely, so that your payer would have the data so that we could improve effectiveness and efficiency of our health care.
Mm-hmm. How long do you think something like that would take? Something like that would happen where, like, the payer realizes it.
People tell me, oh, Fred, it won't be in your lifetime. Well, you know what? Years ago, I used to agree with them, but, you know, I'm having fun.
Mm-hmm.
But now, oh no, I'm not going to mention any names, but I'm going to be talking to some very interesting organizations who have access to bring me to some very interesting groups, target groups, business groups, because they are, people are beginning to, it's like when the Wright brothers were, inventing their plane. There were people around the world all kind of at the same place. The Wright brothers weren't by themselves. The kind of the world was kind of getting there. You know, people are all kind of, you know, there are people beginning to understand and are reaching the same conclusions that I've reached. The only difference is that I have been low and slow. I started the development of my process when the internet came.
Hmm.
That's when I knew I had something. As a matter of fact, it really came down to a lunch I had with the father of three children, their family, wife and three children, and their children in my practice.
Mm-hmm.
And I did not know that this guy was a software developer for an insurance company. And his wife said, I asked some questions. We were at a visit, and his wife said, you need to talk to my husband. And I had a talk with him, and I said to him, if I gave you these questions and these answers, would you be able to put this in like a questionnaire? He said, yeah, that's what I do. It's just you're just asking different questions than I ask. And that was it. And I said, then therefore with the data, we could then store. He said, yeah, that's what I do. So I've been at this a long time, and I've been waiting for the world to catch up to me. Hopefully it will. And I know what's interesting, you could probably add up my company. We just changed the name to what it is now, but I've been at this since when the internet came out. So 16, 17 years. And I can tell you the slope up until last summer, the slope since last summer has been steadily going more vertical. So, in fact, the last 2 months since usually the beginning of the year is like slow.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no. No. There are, I don't know where it's going. And so now there are people calling me, asking me to tell me about this system. And as I said, I'm going to be presenting to some rather interesting communities. And I know we're getting close. I know we're getting close. And I want to help people. I basically want to help people work together better. To me, this is a win-win. Although, like I said, it's very disruptive to the way we're doing our healthcare business. This is very disruptive because, again, I went to dental school and, my practice is based upon my claims data, quote unquote, fixing things, although I'm not fixing anything, but that's what my practice is built upon. We now have the information and the technology to really transform to be something where people are going to do better. All of us. But sometimes the hardest thing to do, if you're used to riding a bicycle on one side of the bicycle, and I ask you, want you to pedal on the other side, I mean, it might be just as good, but you're going to say, man, I've been doing fine over here. Why am I going to switch? And as they said, we got this, the Titanic, it's going down, and we're just rearranging the deck chairs, and that's what we're going to do. But it's changing, and hopefully this year we're going to see some success. The tools are already in use, but they're not in use the way it would benefit people. It's really not being used the way it benefit people. It's like I say, I'm a trainer, and I'm saying I'm giving you this push-up regimen, but then I come back next Saturday, and you say, well, you know what? I had to do something else. Well, obviously, I don't want this bad enough yet. So I don't, I think the patient is beginning to listen a little bit, but stay tuned.
I know you've been on a TED Talks as well, and you've shared this idea. So I wanted to ask, what does this mean? Teeth are like trees, gums don't lie.
It's funny. And you know what? I say that to patients. I say it to my students, and I say to my students, I say, I want you to think about it a little bit. Well, okay, here we go. Your tooth is the only calcified structure, okay? It's a lot more calcified than your fingernails. It's the only calcified structure that doesn't have a soft tissue covering, okay? So when your tooth is developing in the jaw, your tooth grows in the jaw, the crown grows and the root grows and it comes to your mouth. If something happens while that tooth is developing in your jawbone, often we will see the mistake in the tooth as it comes into your mouth. Okay? And since your teeth all don't develop at the same time, they develop over a period of time. In fact, your teeth start developing near the end of your first trimester in fetal development and continue developing through and after you become an early teenager. When things are happening to you systemically, your teeth will show it. In addition, your teeth are reactive tissues. You see things on TV, you've got to avoid sodas, you need to look at certain acidic beverages. If you have a gastrointestinal problem in which you might be bringing in enough stomach acids and whatnot, the kinds of food habits you have, certain vitamins, certain medicines, we can see that stuff, that activity on your enamel. Okay? If I see a cavity or if I see a filling on your tooth, I know that there are parameters of the infection that caused your tooth decay. Tooth decay is an infection. In fact, tooth decay is the most common transmissible infection of childhood. Not asthma, not allergies. Tooth decay. So I can look at a child or I can look at an adult. And if I know your age, I call your age, let's say you're 38. I call your mouth the 38th chapter in your life. I have an idea about where you've been, and I have an idea about where you're going, just looking at your teeth and asking you questions about your health dynamics. I can ask you questions, and based upon your answers, it will associate with what I see in your mouth. And you can't lie to me, because teeth are like trees. Okay, your teeth have crowns, something above the ground, and then they got roots, something below. Your teeth are fed from below the ground through your root up through the crown. If things are going on in your body, I can read it in your teeth. If something's going on with your saliva and many oral medications for mood or different systemic problems will show up in your saliva. And your saliva is like your blood. Your saliva is the protector of your mouth. You would never want to not have saliva. It would be the most miserable thing you can't imagine. You cannot imagine the horror that people suffer who don't have saliva. Your saliva provides a lot of protection for your body in your mouth. Your gums, okay, if your gums are healthy, if you're keeping your gums healthy, they look one way. If you're not keeping your gums healthy, they'll start to look another way. If your gums bleed on brushing, that's not a good sign. If you have bone loss around your teeth, that's really not a good sign. We know that mouth infections are the most common infections of the mouth are the most common infection across your whole body. If you had diabetes or heart disease and your physician understood the parameter or the implications around mouth infections in which you had bone loss around your teeth, they would not be happy about your cardiac prognosis or your diabetes prognosis. They would not be happy at all. There are so many things about your mouth that connect your body. Your mouth is really the window. It's the place that's kind of in between the outside and the inside. It's like the doorway, and you have to have a good framework around the door. You have to have good hinges. The door has to be solid, you know, because it's really your protection. Your mouth reflects kind of what you do and how you think about yourself. Think about now in our community how a smile connotates to people about who you are. You could be the smartest person in the world, but if you have, you know, a lousy looking mouth, people don't want to be around you. You know, you really don't know what your own breath looks like, smells like. You really don't. Other people do. Would you rather not take a shower for a month and not brush your teeth for a month? Pick one. Yeah, you know which one you pick. Yeah, your skin and your hair would recover. Your mouth might not.
Yeah, that's
so true. We know these things, but again, we are not thinking about what drives our behavior every day. And we go back to the issue of people who are of low socioeconomic level, new immigrants, people of color, people with special needs, the frail, the medically frail, the elderly. These people, these groups, predictably have a overburden of mouth problems. And I'm saying we shouldn't be having this. This is all predictable. So I'm saying, as you started as a child, and you grew up in a family or in a community where oral health is a cultural priority, that family, that individual, that community, those people are going to do a lot better in their life if not. As I tell my patients, I should not have to clean your child's mouth. I should not have to give you a fluoride treatment. I shouldn't have to do that. There are things that only I can do that you can't, okay? Mm-hmm. And you're really coming to me when we call it a checkup. What you're really coming to me for is me to confirm your health management, the things that I can't see, but I can ask you questions. And then when I look at your mouth, teeth are like trees and gums don't lie. I'm going to know you can't lie to me, because when I look in your mouth, I'm going to look and I'm going to test things. And as I like to say to parents, your child's mouth is your kingdom. It's not a democracy. And the better you guide them so they become codependent and then independent, they're going to take that culture forward. If they don't learn good habits at home, like it's important to study, important to keep your room clean, you know, things like this, then when they go out in the world, what do we got? So we're talking about personal responsibility. And the health of your body is one of the most important health responsibilities that you can have. Mm-hmm. It is one of the most important personal responsibilities you can have. I contend to parents that when I see, I've had kids come in to my office, the parents are poor. I've seen kids who have been in homeless shelters. I've seen kids whose the clothes in their back are worth more than my entire wardrobe. And when I look in that mouth, I know the quality of what that parent is doing. And I bring it to that parent's attention. And if they're listening, the next time I see them, what a difference. Huge difference. And you can see it in the parent's pride, be it the child being 3 or 33, and as Isaiah said, they have special needs. I can see the quality in that parent, that the responsibility and the pride in that parent's eyes, and I know that that kid is going to be on a different path. That is the biggest responsibility I have, engaging the parent to understand their power in the long-term health and the quality of life for themselves, because often what's also good, you know, when sometimes when a parent comes into me and I see the child's in big shape, bad shape, and I'm talking to the parent, and I'm looking at them saying, yeah, you know what? If you don't change the love for your child's going to end up exactly like you. Is that what you want? And, of course, then I get their attention. This is not a dental problem. It's not a dental problem. This is a long-term health and quality of life and health management concern. It's all in the words. Then, now, I get to dentistry. Dentistry, like healthcare, is in big trouble. Okay, any dentist can tell you. I've been around a while, and any dentist can tell you that things are changing rapidly for dentistry. Mm-hmm. And part of it is really two issues to it. Number one, dentistry doesn't cost enough to be on the radar screen. Unlike diabetes or obesity or cardiac disease, we don't cost enough. The second problem is that our data has no value. Okay? The payers don't care about implants and bridges and dentures. They don't care about that. Also, the evidence around the quality of those of that treatment isn't good. Why? Because, well, why did you think that person needed an implant to begin with? This isn't an accident. They needed an implant because you have had a lifestyle, years of poor health management and poor compliance to go to the dentist when you should for effective prevention. So my contention is my data is going to bring dentistry to another level of value, a high level of value, but we have to give the payer and policy and consumer the right information so that we are viewed as being necessary to healthcare to improve value of healthcare outcomes, reduce cost, improve effectiveness and efficiency of the system.
So in a nutshell, what can dentists do today to combat this ugly truth of healthcare for right now?
What they can do is engage, and this is going to be hard because we're not paid for this. What we have to do is each person has to take an individual decision to engage their patients more fully, to have their patients understand. That takes a lot of work because people come to you and they, oh, doc, just take this out, please. You know, I'm only here because it hurts. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be very difficult. It's like a trainer. Somebody comes to me and they're way out of shape, you know, and they want to get ready for a wedding in 1 month. I'm like going like, hey, come on, man. Why didn't you come a year ago? But let's work. You're here. Let's work. Are you ready to work? Because you're not ready to work. Well, how can I help you? And number two, dentists have to understand that their community might be looking at them in a way that's not valuable. So how do you change your value? You change your value by going out and educating your physician brethren, hospitals, give a talk, go visit the a person who provides counseling. You know, people who are on substance abuse, oh my goodness, their mouths are terrible. People who have mental illness, their mouths are probably horrible. And can you imagine if you're not having a good way every day with yourself, because of how you look at yourself in the world, and your mouth, you have mouth problems, can you imagine how those two factors are exacerbate each other? Mm-hmm. Okay? So we have to understand what we're not, we have to get, dentistry has to get out of a surgical model mode and has to get into what I am as a dentist. I gave a talk about 3 years ago to an insurance company in Baltimore. And then near the end of the talk, one of the directors got up and says, you know what you are? I don't know. Okay. You're really a lifestyle coach. And I said, yes, you're absolutely right. I'm a lifestyle coach. That's what I am. So dentistry, to each provider out there, you got to find a way to let the community know the value you are to them. Because if they see the value to them, then they're going to send their patients to you. And you have to find ways of engaging your patients so they understand that this is going to be a little bit different than what you think it's been. Yeah. My success is really based on my patients, the parents, understanding you know what, this guy's really here trying to help me have a better life. Not about me, it's about them. And that's what dentistry has to do. And it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough because we are under a lot of stress. And my contention is, it's going to get a lot worse. It's going to get worse. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You see what's going on with Trump trying to change into his Republican version of whatever. But if you really think that's going to fix things? No, it's not going to fix anything. Not going to fix it. I don't care how political it's. I don't care what their motives are. They're going to be people left out, and it's just they're not getting to the focus of the problem. Nobody's listen to the news about all the healthcare issues. Nobody's talking about the accountability or the engagement of the consumer in their health. Nobody's talking about that. Mm-hmm. They're all talking about trying to improve access and reduce cost, and I'm going, well, how are we going to do that? How are you going to do it? So, I'm trying to get to people, and right now I'm trying to talk to the payers and policy. Mm-hmm. The payer is the key because they're the ones who pay it.
Okay, Dr. Ferguson, thank you so much for being with us today. Was there anything you feel like we left out, any information?
You know what? I can only thank you. I mean, for example, I don't think I would have heard from you a year ago or earlier. Mm-hmm. That's my proof that there's something going on. You saw something and you said, you know what? Gee, that's interesting. Let me call that guy. Mike, you are proof that I'm on the right track. And you're providing me a great service because there are going to be people going to listen to this and they're going to have a reaction to it. They may like it and they may not like it. I don't believe anybody's going to listen to this blog and go, mm-hmm. They're going to have a reaction to it. And that's what I want. They're going to have a reaction. I want the reaction.
Yeah, whenever there's something disruptive in the world or in the environment, I mean, it's changing. You know what I mean? That means change is happening. So if you're being disruptive, that's perfect,
right?
Because you're trying to bring change.
What I'm trying to do is to get people to work together to a common goal, which is logical. Mm-hmm. People should have health. People should have health. But it's not a gift. You have to work for it, and it requires monitoring. And wouldn't you want to be ahead of the game? Wouldn't you want that? So, we'll see how it goes. We'll see. And it's been fun. But you're going to expose my thought to a lot of people. And then thank you very much. I mean, this is wonderful. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
And, keep in touch and, maybe contact me back in the fall. And hopefully I've got some good news for you.
Yeah, of course. It was a pleasure. But before we say goodbye,
hey,
tell us where it is we can find you.
Well, that's the part of me that I'm not really good at because I'm too busy focusing on the payer. But now there are people working with me. It's interesting. That's another thing that's happening. Until about a year ago, I was kind of doing this by myself, me and the person who's the web vendor for me. Mm-hmm. And now there's a bunch of people who are getting involved. Students. I have two friends who retired from IBM, and they're working with me. And because people are seeing something in this, and they like it, they get it. I have a LinkedIn page. I just kind of updated it. We will be developing a new website. Right now, probably the best way that people can look at what I'm doing and get an idea about about where I'm trying to go is to look at on the internet, a program called mysmileguide.com. mysmileguide.com. But a lot of this stuff is going to change. But basically, this product is what I said, what I've been talking about. It's essentially a unique, one-of-a-kind, personalized, password-protected, interactive oral health guidance center. You put in information. It's going to create a oral health folder for you or anybody in your family. It's going to set up questionnaires for you. There are questions for you to respond to for yourself or somebody in your care, regardless of their age. You're going to get back personalized guidance. Everything is stored. You can come back and look at it 24/7. There's a lot of information in it that you can't even imagine. And then there's another questionnaire that you take to your dentist. And this is these questions your dentist should be answering for you anyway, but yeah. Now you're going to have the data. And I contend that this thing will give you an idea about, it's not just your mouth it's talking about, it's giving you an idea about your long-term health and quality of life based upon your health management and the outcomes of your dental examination. And I contend, again, this is the smart data. And this data I can share across healthcare. This is the transparent data that you can't argue with. And if you follow this, if you use this, and you take the advice I give you, I'm telling you, you will become a more competent health manager. You will do better in your interaction and collaboration with your physician, okay? Mm-hmm. And my goal is in the future that you're going to benefit from your healthcare payer, because my contention is if you have good oral health, you are going to be more effective and efficient in a team with your payer, your physician, and policy, and you are going to have better health, better long-term quality of life, and you're going to cost the healthcare system a lot less than if you were uncontrolled.
Got it. Excellent.
That's it.
Excellent.
Thank you.
All righty, Dr. Ferguson, thank you so much again for joining us on today's episode, and we'll hear from you soon, okay?
Thank you very much. Take care. Bye.
Thank you guys so much for listening to episode 51. Thank you guys for sharing this episode with your friends, colleagues, family even. Thank you guys for sharing the Dental Marketer podcast. It's greatly appreciated. And also thank you so much for all the wonderful emails you guys sent me and the questions you have for me. I try to answer as many as possible on the show, or I'll just answer you through email. So thank you. Like I said, guys, this episode was jam-packed with a lot of healthcare talk, a lot of talk about disrupting the healthcare system, the way society views it, and how we can bring value to our local community as well through our local physicians and other type of medical professionals. So thank you guys so much for listening. Look below in the show notes for the links that were discussed in this episode, the TED Talks video, his websites, and much more. Also, don't forget to check out the resource page to check out any products that you might be interested in with a percentage off as well, a discount. And thank you guys so much for tuning in. Don't forget to follow me on Instagram and like the Facebook page under The Dental Marketer. And guys, I'll talk to you soon.